Get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello once again and welcome to Spirit Work Show, the metaphysical and spiritual show with a difference. I'm Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery, hi.
We're mediums, healers and authors who have chosen to serve humanity through our gifts of spirit communication. On this show we focus on education, and through Mick's deep trance mediumship we are able to bring you the truth as to the nature of your existence direct from the other side of life. And on today's show, we'll be discussing remote healing and sound healing and all of the different situations that we can think of that will be interesting to you. And if you have a question yourself about healing and you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. The number is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers, we'd love to hear from you too, but it's not toll-free. That's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi. I am Mick Avery. This time was last time I looked. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe you'd like to book an Akashic reading or diagnostic services, perhaps about your home or something like that, geophysical stress surveys, we do all kinds of different surveys really to do with the spirit world and also to do with the planet, our beloved planet Earth. We suggest you go visit our websites. The first one is www.spirit-teaching.com and also at spiritsworkradio.com. Now, each week live on the show, I channel an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. Gregory himself had an earth life in the early 1700s in England, but now he has come back to share the vast insights and wisdom he has gained access to with those of us still on the earth. And I have to do that right now, so we can get on with the show. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie, and she's going to explain a bit more about the whole process. And I'll say goodbye for this week. Yes, as regular listeners will know, I only have a little time on this radio show, really. About 5 minutes is my lot. And this time it's come up.
Yeah.
For about a minute and a half, I think.
Gregory is a spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, who consists of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. When Mick is in trance, his spirit and his consciousness are transported and held by the scientific members of the White Cloud Group so that we can enjoy the complete personality of Gregory Hay. This means there is no room for errors because interpretation doesn't come into it. As Mick said, you can find out more about us from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And once again, if you have a question for Gregory regarding healing, any form of healing, I should say it's not a reading show, but it's an informational, we bring education and information direct from the spirit world. It means that we can get answers to problems that we probably wouldn't be able to get in any other way. So if you have a question, it's toll-free in the US and Canada. It's 877-876-5227 in the US. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. And if you do give us a call, do speak up nice and loud and clear. So, anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us now.
Hello, my dear friends. With love and light and peace be upon your journey.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello.
So, well, last week we covered quite a lot of ground about different forms of healing, and a lot of it remote healing in many shapes and guises. This week I thought we could maybe start off with talking about sound healing.
Yes, absolutely, my friend, and if you would permit me, I would like to begin with the first part of sound healing, that is, the sound healing that happens between mother and child. If you can then begin to understand this, not just for human beings, but the relationship that exists between different animals and their offspring, you will begin to see how sound relationships work, both to soothe an offspring, perhaps, and also to teach it. We have to look at this in relation to sound healing, because after all, some of the first situations of communication between mother and child don't actually happen once the child is born, but actually happen internally, whilst the mother is still carrying the child. This is true with all forms of mammal, including whale and dolphin, of course. If you take the situation that what is happening is communication outside of the physical body, if you take it that you are coming from the position of the child, shall we say, within the womb, what it was that you actually heard as a child was that you were figuratively understanding these drones of communication, these systems of communication that were set up. I know we're talking here about actual audible sounds in the physical world. We're not specifically talking about psychic communication or communication on an upper level yet. I am wanting you to actually look at this, first of all, in a rather than a subliminal nature, but actually something which is happening physically. Because once you understand the relationship of what happens physically and how it interrelates with you as a being, and as a being, shall we say, the child, you can begin to understand how different resonance frequencies actually are picked up by human beings. So, to begin with then, you will see that certain soothing voices or music or whatever outside of the child's domain, that is, the domain in the womb, there will be audible sounds that are picked up by the formation of the ears, but also by the resonant frequencies as they come in through the placenta and are actually resonating around the child's physical body form. Now, if it is to do with the actual verbal communication that's coming from the mother, it will be something that's very consistent with the memories of energy of the sounds and understanding that are coming through the child as it continues to progress in the gestation period. What you are actually witnessing here are the different resonant frequencies as the mother is talking, perhaps, not necessarily to the child, but just talking in any event, it's one of the reasons why it is so essential, really, for a mother to be very well cared for within the childbirth process. The whole gestation period, it needs to be something of, obviously, the calmer that it becomes, that the mother is treated, then the calmer it will be for the child in coming out to the world. It's also to say as well that for many, very many situations, that the resonant frequency, particularly perhaps when the mother is actually speaking outwardly to the child, that these are frequencies that are set up between the two of them, so that when the child is eventually born, it will be the remembrance of those frequencies as they are sounded out that will actually bring about a soporific effect, I suppose, for the child themselves, as it regurgitates these memories of times in the budding process, if you like. What has this got to do with the spirit? After all, the spirit is actually, in a sense, detached from the child. It is actually joined to it by the etheric bead, the specific bead that comes from the cord that comes from the spirit to the physical being. However, it's still a very tentative link, all the way right up through to the process when the child is actually born and the gestation has finished. We are looking actually at the gradual strengthening of this etheric bead. So it would appear then that the actual spirit of the child and that of the mother are in some way entwined. Now, I suppose you could say that these are times when the child and mother should really bring about very special relationships, which is why it is that very oftentimes it will be that a mother will actually feel quite forlorn at the point of the child passing. In the event that the child passes, it's not actually the figurative physical annulment, if you like, of that child's life. It's actually to do with the child's spirit being there entwined with the mother as well. And the resonant frequencies that are set up through this reaction, this reactive process, is something which usually will be the greatest heightened process between the mother and child which can exist, which is in the birthing process. And actually what happens thereafter is, in a sense, a cementing of that process. So what you're looking at here are various resonant frequencies, physical resonant frequencies, that are set up between two physical beings in the birthing process and also at times thereafter. It is obvious that a child first responds to the sounds emitted from the female, and also, of course, if the father is lucky enough to be present as well, it will be from the father as well, and all of the other resonant sounds that come about. Sharp sounds will not be greeted with happiness, but actually will be something which will bring about negativity. So these are different ways in which sound on the physical level affect one another, affect children as they are brought into the world. How this then transposes gradually through the process of upbringing, that the child actually begins to form other senses, connect with these other senses to do with the spirit of the child. This actually is something which can come in a very gradual way. I have heard it said, although, that contrary to this, it may well be that for some children, that they actually come in when they begin their physical life, that they actually look from one parent to another. What this has to do with the setting up of the resonant frequencies will depend very much, you see, upon the details and situations of the physical interaction that happened with the child before the child was actually born. So this will be depending upon those resonant frequencies. Some children actually are very much in their physical body at the point of birth. So it's like that there is someone home. They respond to you looking at them, and they look directly at you back again. Now, I've oftentimes heard it said that a child psychologist or even a pediatrician may well say, oh, but a child doesn't actually understand anything at this point, and it will only be a gradual process that the consciousness is built. However, there are many situations throughout the resonant frequency of in the gestation period and that kind of thing when interactivity is brought about, and these situations are very much a part of the child's life. So, in a sense, don't ever lump all children into one situation and say, this is a blanket term. In fact, some children will be differently advanced due to the resonant frequencies that are happening between mother and child, or father and child, however the relationship works. It will be, in fact, that for many children, particularly those who are graced with parents who are very thoughtful and fortunate to their child, that the resonant frequencies that they've already set up between beings is something which is long-lasting. And they will acknowledge that as children, even in these first breaths of instant. Now, it is very true to say this is also the pattern which exists between porpoises and dolphins and the way they interact with their offspring. Whales, too, of course, sing to their children. And this is something which then sets up a whole process of learning and development. It will be as well that many other different creatures, bears, for example, also actually through their voices, their interactivity with their cubs, will actually have quite a resonant frequency set up already, as well as will dogs and cats, of course. This interactivity is not just on the physical level. It's also something which, through the interplay on a physical level, will set up the ulterior activity with the spirit as well. But all of that will depend upon how close that bonding is brought about. So, for example, then, people in a family group will usually understand the specific resonant frequency of communication, for example, one to another. It's not usual that this is something that will happen between one person and their uncle or whatever. It's usually between parents or children's other siblings, because this is the reason for it is that the specific genetic frequency is closest in that regard. So what you're doing is you're actually communicating with the resonant frequency that you are actually set at as a physical being, because you're closest genetically to one another. And this is actually part of that process. What then actually happens also, of course, I hear you ask perhaps, well, how is it then that the spirits are interrelated? They're not, quite simply, they're not. What you are depending upon here is the genetic link and cellular link of cellular memory, the consciousness link between different siblings, and how that actually comes about, sets up its own resonant frequency, so that you actually are able, perhaps, brother to sister, or sister to daughter to mother, or something like that, that the relationship, depending upon that relationship, and how that is set about, will depend upon the resonant frequency of the two spirits concerned, and that too will have an effect, because as we all know, not all spirits of one family come from the same soul group. So your resonant frequency will be inherently different anyway, and this is also a part of the process that you have to understand. Your resonant frequency as a spirit being is set at one specific cycle. So if you looked at it upon an oscilloscope, you is of a certain distillation. It will have marks upon it whereby the frequency extends and contracts depending upon how your resonance is feeling that day. And this is something which is transient and ever moving. It, because it will actually depend upon your energy, upon your emotional field events, your well-being, and that kind of thing. Oftentimes will actually set up a different marker for events to transpose from one to another. Therefore, if you are in a distressed state as a physical being, you will obviously send out a different marker, a different resonant frequency for other beings to pick up. So that if you have a healer who is actually trying to pick up your resonant frequency because you are ill, and will those intonations will actually be felt by the spirit healer sometimes, not every time. For some beings, it will actually be quite a difficult thing to pick up. For example, if a client, shall we say, has tinnitus or something like that, it's actually quite difficult to pick up that kind of resonant frequency as a spirit healer because it's such a shallow distillation in the waveform that you are looking for or that you actually interact with as a spirit being. Whereas someone who is perhaps suffering, shall we say, from having a stroke or a heart attack or something like that, that's something that sends out a different signal because the resonant frequency of the physical being and how it actually interacts with the spirit. So the spirit of that being will actually be interacting with the spirit world in a different way. So the resonant frequency that you pick up and interact with as a spirit healer will be different. I'm not saying that you as a spirit healer will necessarily make note of that resonant frequency or will actually be able to identify it as coming from someone with that kind of behavioral situation or change in their metabolic rate. Of course, it may well be that just because the fact that the frequency has changed, that may be an indication, give you a signature of how that person's change has brought about a different situation for their learning physical experience.
Wow, there's a lot there, isn't there? Where do I start?
I'm sorry, friend, I had to get that out rather quickly.
No, that's absolutely fascinating. And, I mean, the situation of the baby in the womb is quite incredible. I know we've touched on it before, but, I mean, it just makes you realise, doesn't it, really, how even just things like the dog barking and you know, in the house when the baby is in the womb, how all of these things will add to the baby's constitution. And how much does this, then, in that way, how much does this situation of how good or quiet a time the baby has in the womb, how much does this affect the personality of the baby when it's born? Or is it purely a spiritual genetic interaction, as in, I mean, okay, yes, it can be maybe a very calm baby if it had a nice time in the womb, or it can maybe be fractious if it had a stressed time in the womb.
Yes.
Because of sound I'm talking about specifically.
Yes.
But how much, that would make sense, but how much does this affect the permanent personality of that child as it grows?
Well, theoretically, it really should not set about too much of a precedent for the child's life. I know that when you are looking at a child's life, you are looking at the ways in which the environment will affect the child. However, the situation does appear to be that for some children, it actually reverberates with them much more than others. Some are more physically based, whereas other children, perhaps with their connectivity, with their spirit more enhanced for some reason, and that doesn't mean to say they're a chosen child or whatever, but it just appears to be how that resonance is carried through with the physicality of life. For some spirit beings, their resonance within the physicality of life doesn't actually correspond to well. For example, it may well be that with autistic children, that their spirit enhancement is not properly conjoined with the physicality. So it means to say that what the child is experiencing, as well as having some errors of learning difficulty and resonating with the field of what they're supposed to do, or rather resonating within a certain constricture of the type that tends to happen in a society, so that you may have perhaps children in one family and only one of them is autistic. So it will be actually that the obvious changes and alterations in that will not just be a resonant situation, but will actually be physically apparent. However, what I'm saying is that for some children, their spirit may well need to be further enveloped, may need to be further encouraged. It's not just a physical problem. It's something which actually comes through the whole unit of well-being for the child experience. It's oftentimes why it is that certain children perhaps will be mathematically genius or whatever, as oftentimes it will be with those kinds of children. Autistic children are obviously, for obvious reasons, noble inventors. It's why they are the world would not actually do well at all if it were not for autistic children being present within it, because people would not actually be able to see outside of the box of their own reality in order to invent something new. So in a sense, many people have certain frequencies of autism. That is, that it's not actually a disease, it's a part of the cell division which is occurring, so that you're dealing partly with a physicality, but you're also dealing with the resonant frequency of how the spirit is interacting with the physical person as well. And this too actually has an effect. Now, I understand as well, of course, that you have to also look at the kind of life that the spirit individual led before they actually had a physical experience, and how that interactivity is going to resonate as well. Perhaps make a difference to that child, or perhaps never actually be a part of that child's consciousness. What then? What then if the resonant frequency that had exhibited as a spirit, beautiful spirit being, actually was not something which was brought about upon the physicality of the child, but actually somehow became entrapped within it, or was not ever let out, perhaps because of a specific environmental curses. Perhaps it was that the child was brought into a violent family or something like that, or violent surroundings, perhaps, in the environment. See, there are many different throes which will set up a chain reaction for that spirit's ability to perhaps enhance the physicality of life, but also for the child itself to actually resonate with its own frequency. It might not be happy having this physical life, you see. Some are actually, in a sense, also will depend upon the specific resonant frequency of the soul group from which they are a part of. So the spirit of that child will actually resonate in a certain way. Now, for some children, it may well be that the resonant frequency set up by the spirit is not actually compatible with the physicality. That too can happen, and the child in this respect, not just because of it some physical aberration or malfunction within the cell structure, but actually coming about through other realities, other means, other systems which have brought about this difficulty between physical life and the spirit world.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, I know you've talked before about the fact that, yes, we all vibrate at a different rate from our specific soul groups, and that not all children in the family are from the one soul group. In fact, very rarely, really.
Very rarely, yes.
But how does this, the fact that the child So are you saying that the child's vibration doesn't gel well with the family or with the actual earth, the vibration that it's come into?
Yes, well, quite possibly. It could be either of those or both. That's what I'm saying. And so this, too, will actually set up a situation, if you like, as to, for example, whether the child actually has a happy life.
I was just going to say that, yes. I mean, does this mean that it has a disadvantage then?
Absolutely. And sometimes it can do. Well, which is why healing needs to be done, you see.
But why would it come then? Did it not know that before it came?
No, it's not necessarily that has anything to do with it. It's not a choice situation. It can just be, for example, how the resonance of the cell structure as a physical being, there it is, a physical being, it's alive. It's not just a slab of meat. It's actually alive. And it has a resonant frequency in itself. Yes.
Okay.
The rate at which its heart beats, the rate at which it perhaps uses thought and that kind of thing, and the frequencies that are set up by the actual the situation, the physical interaction between the physical being and its brain. That's something which also sets up a resonant frequency. Yes? Mm-hmm. So you are having the neurons and cells which are firing off using electromagnetic pulses within the physical brain. This is something then which sets up a resonant frequency of the being. So as a physical object, you are looking at the resonant frequency of that physical object. The spirit too has a resonant frequency, being that it comes from a specific soul group. It has a vibrational intent. It means to say that it's what denotes the way that you aspire, the way that you are magnetically drawn to certain faculties, perhaps, to do with your physical life. It's why you interact, why you have especially grown relationships between yourself and certain other elements of beings. I'm not being too clear here. I'm talking about how the resonance of perhaps an interest actually relates to you as a physical being. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
So that, for example, some beings may be very well addressed with history. History has a specific resonant frequency, believe it or not.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
And that if you actually have the situation of history and the way that fires brings about the concerted effort, concentration, response of these kinds of interactions between beings, the observance of it from the spirit world's perspective is something which sets up a specific frequency within that spirit being. This then means it translates to the physical being as that spirit interrelates with the journey. So it may well be then that for some reason that the physical being is actually showing interest in this specific field. Now, the field of mathematics, for example, has a specific resonant frequency. So that is something which will actually come about and will be something that the child will actually relate to, not necessarily that it actually comes from a mathematical background. Even genetically, you might have a mathematical genius that actually is born from parents who are mere laborers, of course. So it obviously proves it's nothing to do with the genetics of the being. It's nothing to do with their physicality. Where they were born is actually, one should say, well, that's an anathema to that physical being. It's something we shouldn't actually correlate. And yet you could have an absolute genius who goes through university, gets honored degrees and all of that through the heavy field of mathematics, quite simply because that is the resonant frequency that spirit had actually become engrossed in within the spirit property of life. And that, too, then becomes a part of the physical resonant frequency. It actually very often helps for there to be a slight autism stance oftentimes within mathematicians. That's an interesting point, really, because physicality of it has to be that people actually think in a different way. So it could well be not something that the person is actually automatically resonantly frequenced to as a physical being, but something that's actually rather alien. And then suddenly it is because of the fact that the spirit has already had this leaning, has already formed this interest, perhaps in the rationale of the millions of years the spirit has been in existence. And so this then becomes the resonant frequency that is set up. You understand? I hope that you understand this. What this actually has to do with sound healing is so important, because it's important for people to understand that the frequency of what they're looking at as a physical being is not necessarily the totality of frequency as it is set up within the relationship between the physical being and the spirit itself. It's the spirit who actually oftentimes dictates the frequency that in which the physical being ends up as existing in, if you'd like. And that frequency will actually alter and change gradually over periods of time, or perhaps through traumatic experiences that the physical life endures. And that will depend then upon the resonance of the soul of the being, because the soul is actually a part of the emotional journey of the physical state that the spirit endures.
Okay, I think I might have to sit back a little bit.
Yes.
The microphone. Okay, so, So, is this vibration then of the soul group of that individual person? Could this be, I mean, I don't want to go into reincarnation, but could this be why some people like, say, for instance, old houses, places, specific time periods even, that they, because, like, for instance, with me, and I know a lot of people love watching the, you know, like the Sherlock Holmes films, because they can totally have some sort of affinity feeling with that time period for some reason.
Yes, actually,
so certain vibrations of people resonate better with different even time periods.
Yes, absolutely so. And I have to say, my dear friend, within that kind of locality, that specific locality, you are looking at the field of time when perhaps you may well have interacted with some physical form, perhaps to do with their physical life.
Right.
As a spirit being, you had interacted with them as a helper or guide in some way. So you would have a very definite affinity that had been set up during that relationship as a pure spirit being. And in this respect, you would actually helped them to overcome certain problems, or even be a part of witness to those problems, perhaps. Maybe even help them in the restitution of their journey once they had come to the spirit world. You see, resonant frequencies, for you to understand the healing properties of sound, you need to understand, what does sound really mean? Is it just something which reverberates in the physical world? Or has it actually become something quite different, quite extended to the normal vibration of how you look at sound? You are looking at waveform gradually depleting across a space which exists in physical time. However, in the spirit world, there is no such depletion. It does not gradually resonate longer, or that the energy is becoming less. If you look at a whale as it resonates through the water with its sound can travel up to perhaps 1,200 miles or more. Actually, its sound can travel a great deal more than that.
Because it goes through the earth as well? Has that got something to do with it?
Partly to do with it, but also because of the fact that actually a whale's sound and the sound that a whale actually picks up is far more fine, refined, because of its spirit interactivity with that sound than you actually may be aware of or can detect as a physical being. So although you may have an instrument which measures the whale's sound in a physical way as it moves through the water, what you are not bringing into the equation is the way in which the spirit of the whale actually resonates with what it's actually creating. You remember, my dear friends, in the way in which we interacted with whales and have done in the past, that the resonant frequencies set up here are something which are very personal to each and every whale, but also that the communication is on a global scale. So it means to say that whales in one ocean, in the southern ocean, shall we say, the southern right whale frequently communicates with other southern right whales in the locality, perhaps at different sides of the globe. But also it will be that it communicates with other species of whale in the northern hemisphere of the planet upon which you live. The resonant frequencies that are sent physically are actually amplified by its spirit intent and by its intention to bring about a certain form of communication to do with the specific soul group that it has come from. Not all whales come from one single soul group, because they all have different adjusted frequencies because of their intention. Now, their field of intention may not be the same as yours. They may not be a mathematician as a whale. On the other hand, they could be.
Well, they could have the person, yes, like for instance, say, not to insult a whale, but, you know, you could probably say, well, if that whale was a human, it would be this. Yeah, in our terms, if that was a whale, that would only be a, you know, that whale could be an artist, and that the other whale would be a mathematician or a linguist,
yes,
or something,
yes,
you know. Do you know what I mean? In the way that we can understand it, but they must each lend themselves to specific genres.
Yes, absolutely so. And it's not altogether typecast in the way that you think. That's what I'm really pointing out here. It may well be, for example, that some creatures actually have to set up a completely different form of communication, as has been depicted by various forms of beings like semaphore frogs, for example, that wave to one another instead of actually talking. But also, they're not just waving to one another, they're also communicating telepathically to one another. And the hand gestures are part of the situation of their being able to communicate in a physical way. But they're also doing it in a telepathic way as they are interacting with the sights and situations that they're actually viewing as a physical being. But also it's to do with their spirit as well.
You know, something that always puzzles me, if whales can communicate so well with each other, why they don't say, tell each other and warn each other when, you know, whaling ships are there and that sort of thing, why they don't get out of the way?
Yes, because they are actually still always looking to try to understand the situation that's around them. I know that this is difficult for human beings. For example, it may well be that when human beings begin interacting with a pod of whales, that they actually all suddenly come up around the boat, and you'll see it. Perhaps the interaction starts with one whale, and very soon it will be that all of the whales come up and express their joy at the interaction. But that's because they actually communicate within the vibration of love. And that is something that you need to remember as physical beings, that they very much resonate, are creatures that, not just because of their physicality, but because of their pure, beautiful spirit, that they actually resonate on a very extended level when other beings interrelate with them in a loving way. So they resonate with that sensation. They rise to it. Their form of physical presence, if you like, becomes something which looms much larger for the life. So that then sets up an even bigger resonant frequency.
Well, I guess they would want to stay in trying to help their friends who are in trouble anyway once they realise that there is a problem.
Oh, yes, absolutely so.
That's exactly the same,
my friend, but when you have fisher people who actually capture a pod of whale of porpoises or something like that, and they're clubbing them or whatever it is that they do, and that they're all just there, and that they cannot move away from the field of distress that's been set up because they are distressed for one another.
So going back to why people, like, okay, this vibration situation with the association I particularly talked about time period being something that can be feel so familiar to people.
Yes.
And places on Earth also. What about people that are attracted to, say, what's the difference between somebody who likes being in an oldie worldy house and a modern house and that sort of thing? You know what I mean? Places maybe that are green, some other people like places that are dry and barren, other people like the sea to be near the water. All of these different faculties that make up why individuals want to be somewhere has to be to do with a vibration and an innate quality that makes them feel harmonic.
Yes, absolutely. So, actually, I have to say that usually when people are responding to situations of arid conditions or something like that, it's actually usually to do with the specific vibration frequency that had been set up to do with their understanding of physical objects and time and space, so that it will be that time and space means a great deal to them, which is why you have people really, the way that they resonate with Japanese gardens or something like that, because the way in which the space is interrelated and also in isolation sets up a resonant frequency of remembrance. It beautifies the object by how it is specifically placed ergonomically within the physical environment. It also sets up a chain reaction with how it resonates with you. So you are now looking at a physical object in the physical environment which actually sets up its own resonation purely by the way that it has been enhanced because it's on its own.
Mm.
It's not actually doing anything different, but how you are relating to it is something which sets up a chain reaction in your resonant memory to do with how you related to situations and circumstances in the spirit world. Not some previous physical life, but actually in the spirit world. Because very often, situations and circumstances, because there is no time or distance, only those times and distances which are relative to the perception of the spirit, per se. It will be that, for example, then, if a spirit suddenly thinks, I must heal this being, there is no object of time and space to interfere with that decision, with that judgment. It is something that it is immediate. In the spirit world, because there is no time and space, one would think, well, that would mean then that everyone's in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Because time and space equals distance, equals it takes a time for you to get from one place to another. Yet, it is possible for those in the spirit world to move across millions of years or millions of miles, if you are looking at the space between one point A and B. However, distance really is no object, because thought is immediate, and thought's a living thing, and it means to say that when you resonate with the thought, it's instantaneous that you accept it, or you reject it, depending upon the resonant frequency of the thought, and whether it's something that sits with you. That's why, in fact, my dear friends, that it's not usually something that comes quickly to the mind, that a decision by a physical being, I'm going to kill this person, or I'm going to take this person's life. It may actually be something which is occurring because of inebriation or the stemming of conscious thought, which detracts the physical being away from its spirit. Therefore, it doesn't think as a rational being or as a spiritually enhanced being, but actually more as a physical object.
But it's a spirit-enhanced decision, isn't it, to be surrounded by either the desert or near water or
yes.
in a forest or in whatever particular
Absolutely.
Sort of place, isn't it? A spirit-driven thing.
It's partly a spirit-driven thing. It's also a physical resonance
because
as well.
Because it can change.
Yes, absolutely so. Some people, as I say, we have to always bring it back to the family, to the physical family, and look at, well, that there are children, siblings, in one family group, and they all have completely different objects within their sensation field that they resonate with. It's important that resonance is understood, and that when things become harmonic, for that one being are not necessarily harmonic for the others. Perhaps the others in the family group, because of their cell structure, can actually appreciate where the other being is coming from. But that doesn't mean to say that the offspring or the siblings of one person who has gone out and taken another life will actually understand the resonance that person reacted with. It's usually something that actually makes them feel very sick. Quite simply because they're so close to the event and so close to understanding partly the resonant frequency of the being, both as a spirit and as a physical state, but also because it reflects upon their own genetic and their own resonant and raises fears within that resonant. It's actually one of the reasons why I think that part of the greatest failure of the system of civilization as it exists at this time is in the failure of that civilization to actually understand the resonance of feeling which may exist within other members of a specific family when one of their kind has actually been guilty of a really callous or barbaric act of violence or vengeance.
In what way? I mean, we've only got a minute left, but in what way? What do you mean?
Well, because they're actually suffering. Other members of that family are actually suffering, not just because of the humiliation of it, but actually because their resonant frequencies, physically, as self-structures, may well be quite similar. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the genetics. So what you're actually dealing with here are different systems of understanding to do with the resonant frequency of how that physical being reacts, yet alone to do with this spirit interactivity of that sibling and how that actually makes the others feel or even reflect upon themselves. I'm not saying in the purposes of justification or in the disciplines of how they actually feel about it, the act itself.
Mm.
We're looking at different ways that people resonate with different ideas.
Well, maybe we could start with this again, continue on with that in the beginning of the programme next Monday.
Yes, absolutely. So we would be happy to.
Mm-hmm.
Then well, with love and light, my dear friend.
Thank you, Gregory.
God bless everyone.
Mm.
May your path be full of joy.
Thank you, everybody, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and do join us again. Actually, we're on again this Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, and as well as next Monday, also at 7 p.m. Pacific. So do join us again. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, Be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.
Hi, this is Marco May. Wherever you are, whoever you are, take care, because you deserve the best.
Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Joe Vitale. I'm one of the stars of the hit movie, The Secret, and I'm the author of way too many books to even list here, including The Attractor Factor and Life's Missing Instruction Manual. You're listening to BBS Radio, so fasten your seatbelts, get ready to be inspired and informed. You're in for a wild ride.
Al Mean, the greatest mystic of our time, invites you to join her as she shares powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Her books and audio library have become roadmaps for those seeking truth in an age of deception. Her live events are unparalleled in the transfiguration of participants to mortal mastery and beyond. Now you can experience the profound wisdom and incredible message of hope she has for mankind right here on BBS Radio. Friday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, tune in to the mystical world we live in on Station 1 to receive the most cutting-edge information on the current ascension of all creation.
Hi, this is inspirational speaker Wambui Bahati, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS.com.
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. You'll be listening to new tracks from my new album Turning Inside right here on BBS Radio, because if it's not mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com.